Welcome to Reconstructed Faith, a podcast where we talk about truth you can build your life on. We hope to dive into the hard conversations of life and faith and seek out reasonable, substantive answers. My name is Colson Lechner, and I'm joined by Chris Legg and Bryn Starnes. This is Reconstructed Faith.
Well, welcome back to the Reconstructed Faith podcast. My name is Colson Lechner.
No, it's not.
Just kidding. I just don't know if I can do the rest of it without saying that part of it as well.
Yeah.
We are here with some different partners in crime, although some of the same partners in crime. So I'm actually Chris Legg, and I'm one of the partners in crime normally, and Bryn Starnes is here. And our stand-in for Colson is Mr. John Redfern.
Poor stand-in. Sorry about that, folks.
He's just sitting. He's sitting in. That's all he's doing.
I'm sitting here taking up space.
That's right.
No, Chris and I are actually kind of technologically helpless. So that's why, John.
Right. Speak for yourself.
I don't know if you know this, but Chris used to build computers.
Yes.
So
John's heard me say that so many times of myself.
Yeah.
There was a day.
I used to order
all my own parts and build a computer. Like I did all that stuff.
Doing all of it.
It was in the early 90s. Mostly rocks and sticks.
They're just different.
That's what I was doing in the early 90s, building computers.
Exactly. What were you doing in the early 90s?
You were getting born.
Almost I was a toddler, up. Thank you.
Yeah,
in the early 90s? Yes. Is that like 95 that you were a toddler?
No, I was in elementary school in 95.
Okay.
We don't need to ask any more details than
exactly,
that, John.
Exactly right. Okay, good. Okay, so today's podcast, we are going to jump into a question that depending on your algorithm, whether or not someone thinks this matters to you, because I've actually had a couple of people reach out and go like, why are we going to talk about that on our leadership board? Like, why are we talking about this? No one knows anything about this. 95% of our church has not heard a word about this. I knew nothing about this. I'm like, well, that is welcome to modern America. Your algorithm has either shoveled this at you so that it's coming out your ears, or you know absolutely nothing about this, depending on what world you live in and how much news you watch and which news you watch. But we're going to unpack the Truth and Unity Amendment conversation, which is the name of the amendment presented by Dr. Al Mohler to be added in at the Southern Baptist Convention, which received its primary vote in Orlando the other day. And depending on when this podcast, it may be several months ago, and we'll receive another vote next year to see whether or not it's actually ratified as an amendment. And we will go into, I'm going to start with telling a history a little bit. First, for those who don't know, in way back when, a convention is different than technically a denomination. The Southern Baptist, quote, convention has no actual authority over local churches. It cannot dictate terms to the churches. It can't tell us how to run policy. It does not give us money. It's all those different things. The money flows the other direction. And it, as a cooperative, which is what it was created to be, was a cooperative. That's not new to the Southern Baptist Convention. That is true of many, many Baptist conventions, and there are many of them.
We can do more together than we can separately.
100%. That's the cooperative, is the idea that if we're going to send thousands of missionaries, and I will actually end our podcast today with a different report from the convention meeting that happened in Orlando a few weeks ago that I think is important. But the history of the Southern Baptist Convention is a little bit shadowy, to say the least, from the very beginning. It was actually created as a division of the Southern Baptist Convention, broke away from the Northern Baptist Convention because the Northern Baptist Convention refused to appoint slave owners as missionaries. And so if there was a slave owner in 1845, the Northern Baptist Church refused to make them missionaries. This is really the original issue. Mm-hmm. And you'll often hear like, oh, the Southern Baptist Church split over slavery, kind of indirectly. Oh. It's more specific, as it always is, more complicated, more specific than that. But still, the Northern Baptist Church said, if you're a slave owner, we're not going to make you a missionary. We're not willing to send you as a missionary.
Interesting.
So the Southern Baptist Church said,
like you're living in sin.
That was the idea, right? Mm. And that was, by the way, that was a stance that appeared in the 1840s. Mm. Until then, they did. And so, as is always the case, we're terrible as humans. I mean, it's not, none of this is new to this podcast. We know this about us. So that was where it started. So let me talk about, so 1963, this is significant for us as a church specifically, on our website and in our doctrinal statement, We've got our list of doctrinal of the most important doctrinal statements. And then we say, beyond this and for more information, we agree in essence with a doctrinal statement of the Baptist faith and message as adopted by the Southern Baptist Convention in 1963 with 1998 amendments. So let's go back, because I think it was good. Doing a little research helped me. So I know I'll be talking for a few minutes here, but until we work our way up to the controversy.
It's so important.
In 1963, the 1963 Baptist Faith and Message is the one that, in my opinion, makes a mistake. I think it's an error. The error is that it lists the two scriptural offices. There are two offices in the church, scripturally it says, two scriptural offices, pastors and deacons. Now, I think that's an actual error. There is no place in the entire Bible where pastor is listed as an office. The elder, or the elder is what is listed as an office, the overseer, right? That's what's listed as the episcopos, the overseer. Literally, eyes to see over is what that literally means. So this is the overseer. There's other words that are used there. We may even discuss that a little bit. But they then in 1963 equated pastor with elder, overseer. They made those one term. They are interchangeable terms in the Southern Baptist Convention.
What does the word pastor mean?
So pastor comes from a totally different Greek word, and we'll discuss this too. But I'm going to actually write an article about this because I've always said if I was to do a doctoral thesis, this is the one I would like to do because I actually think there's like five I'd like to do, but this is one of them.
Like you're really just one.
That would be like this. This was a mistake, and I think it's led to a lot of problems. And so that was this was an error. But the decision was it wasn't an error worth parting ways over. Churches that didn't agree with that weren't kicked out, weren't removed,
what does the word pastor mean?
Pastor comes from the Greek word poimen, and it means shepherd. It actually has no other meaning. It's like diakonos. Diakonos means servant. It doesn't have another meaning. We've ascribed other meanings to it. We've given other meanings to it.
Right.
But it didn't mean it means shepherd. That's all it means. It is a very clear word. And as we might talk about, it is an action that often is ascribed to elders. Elders should shepherd the flock. That's several times that's the case. Elder is always a noun under those conditions, and shepherd is always a verb under those conditions. This was the mistake. Because, in my opinion, because elders shepherd, that does not make them the entirety of what it means to be a shepherd. So, and I think that was a mistake. I think one of the things elders are supposed to
there's
do
is a shepherd. Logical fallacy involved.
There's a huge, it works one direction.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And an elder should shepherd. And that does not mean an elder and a shepherd are the same thing. Mm-hmm. And so I think this was the mistake that was made. My opinion, the Greek word for pastor does not appear in 1 Timothy or Titus, in which the offices of the church are described. 1 Timothy and Titus is where they're described. The word pastor is not in 1 Timothy, and it is not in Titus. This was just a mistake. Now, I've made plenty of mistakes myself, but I think this was a mistake. We may unpack this some more, but I think this started us down a cascading series of errors. There we go. All right. Next, in 2000, here's what was the wording was changed. In the 2000, while both men and women are gifted for service in the church, the office of pastor is limited to men as qualified by scripture. So you can see by my standard where the cascading error just happened. It is, well, if, and again, we can argue, and we've actually discussed whether elders should be only men. But that's, in my opinion, a very appropriate debate for every church to engage in.
Right.
Because as we look at 1 Timothy, it talks about these different language and these different terms for what an elder and a deacon are supposed to be. And that makes sense that that's a conversation that the church has been having for a long time. But you can already see the office of pastor is limited to men. I don't see biblically how there's such a thing as the office of pastor. And I have actually now, listen, to quote from some of the big names, like Al Mohler said that at that time, the word pastor was used by the committee and adopted by the convention because we were told, quote, it is the most easily understood word among Southern Baptists for pastoral teaching leadership. So The common man understood the role of pastor. They didn't understand the role of elder, so they just used the word pastor instead of elder. That's a huge mistake, in my opinion.
I mean, that's, again, that's fine in that that's what you meant to do.
Exactly.
But it sets you up for making mistakes in your understanding of what's being talked about.
Yes. So, to continue, Moeller defined what pastor means in the Baptist Faith and Message, saying, quote, the language means that a pastor is one who fulfills the pastoral office and carries out the pastor's functions. You can imagine how helpful that is for me, who hates when you use a word to define another, use the same word to define another word. As we wrote in the commentary on the Baptist Faith and Message, quote, central to the pastor's role is the responsibility to preach and teach. Pastors also provide spiritual leadership and oversight for the congregation. So, you see again the error that's building. So, does that mean that everyone who provides spiritual leadership and oversight for the congregation is therefore a pastor and is therefore must be man? It's a reverse engineering now that we've created. We went one direction with it. Now we're going backwards.
Well, you made a mistake about, or there was a mistake that was made about which direction this goes, that,
right.
That this person does this thing. So that means that only this person does this thing.
Right.
Well, now then you just keep doing that.
Right.
You're saying, well, no, like a preacher teaches. So now only preachers teach.
Right. Yeah.
And like,
no, preacher and teacher are interchangeable terms.
Yeah.
Is the mistake they made.
Like, no.
Elders are supposed to pastor. Good. Good. So far, so good. Yeah. Therefore, elder and pastor are the same thing.
My gosh.
That's a huge mistake, no. Right? That's an error. But then you go, therefore, all pastors must be elders. So it goes the other direction.
Right.
And all elders have to be men.
Yeah.
Therefore, all pastors have to be men. And a pastor is someone who has any spiritual leadership or oversight for the congregation. And that's, so now you've worked your way backwards where you've said, this is what a pastor is. Pastor equals elder. Elder equals man. Therefore, everyone who does this behavior has to be a man. We can see how this, in my opinion, this is my opinion on how this cascading mistakes happened. And it's created a problem because now you've got this function of pastor, which just meant shepherd. Mm-hmm. And so are we now stuck saying, having to defend the statement, all people who shepherd in the church must be males? No, mm-hmm. Men. I mean, who are qualified by scripture. And I don't think if you'd have asked them in 1963, if you'd have said, this is where this is going to go. Is that what you intend? I don't know that you would have had many people agreeing with that. Like, do you intend to say everyone who serves a shepherding function in the church must be a male? But you can see how step one happens, then step two, then step three. Anyway, let me keep going.
It also sounds like and you kind of already said this, but they partially defined it by like what was already happening. They're like, as according to scripture, but it was also just kind of like, because we all understand it this way in the Baptist church.
Versus let's teach it correctly.
Right. It's just kind of like, does that make sense?
Yes.
Like,
no,
according to the right Bible and the function. And it's like, but we all understand it to mean this because that's what we're doing.
Right.
And it's like, well, that's not the same as seen as in scripture.
As necessarily. That's exactly right. So this
also
was
a false equivalence.
Yes. And so you guys will appreciate. So I have looked for and asked for, I've listened to the stuff by the best people arguing that pastor and shepherd are interchangeable. And they all go to the same two passages. And it's always the fact that elders are commanded to shepherd. And they go, therefore, they're interchangeable. And I'm like, these are people who I know are smart. I don't understand. Like, I want to call them. Can I get you on the phone? So I sat down with one of my mentors, Dr. Bob, who's very conservative from DTS. And I was like, Bob, you got to convince me of this. Like, man, I'm apparently the one in the wrong here. And I was like, help me understand how pastor and elder are the same term. And Bob goes, well, they're not. And I was like, well, you're no help then. Like, I already agree with that. He's like, well, no, clearly they're not. And then he explains everything I just said. I was like, well, great. So anyway, maybe some point I can get that because I don't see it. Anyway, so it was more explained by what Al Moeller said in that quote. Well, it's the word people know. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that at least helps me understand the motive. I disagree with the decision, but I at least now understand, you know, it's like it's, you know, that happened in the era of President Polk. And people are like, we have a president named Polk? I'm like, okay, sorry, Lincoln. then at least some people have a guess at when that might be.
Yeah.
So if I say elder, no one's going to know what I'm talking about. Someone say pastor because it's close. But then you can, you see the consequence of this. So
I'm putting that into like writing and amendments. That's yes. bold.
Yes. Okay.
But they don't think it's bold. This is clarification.
Clarification.
Oh, no, everybody agrees with this. It's yes. just clarification. Like not everybody agrees with this.
But the problem is, once you've made all the other arguments, if I give you like, okay, I stipulate A and B and C and D and E. Okay. Well then can you see F? Yes. But if I don't stipulate A, which I don't,
right.
I definitely don't see F. And so anyway, in 2007, this is what was added. Now we changed the language to be in friendly cooperation with the Southern Baptist Convention. So now we're going to have a little checklist of things that you have to be true of you in order to be in friendly cooperation with the convention. Again, you can understand the convention's getting older. People are starting to do weirder things who claim to be you. And you start going like, all right, so you can't be us. Listen to the first three.
You can be in cooperation, just maybe not friendly.
Exactly. So number one was your faith and practice closely identify with the Southern Baptist Statement of Faith. You could look at that language.
Yeah,
closely identify. We're not trying to limit people much. It's like, dude, you got to be at least close. You can't be so far off. Like you don't get to be that far off. But it's gotta be close.
This is allowing you to give money to this convention.
Yeah.
To cooperate.
To be part of the cooperation.
Yeah. To send people on mission.
It's kind of like, you know, we have people sign our statement of faith
right.
to come to use our property.
Right.
That we go, hey, listen, you're not going to do or say anything that contradicts
right.
what we've got here. And it's very general on purpose. And I think I'm like, I get this. Listen, you got to be close. It's not like we're not rigid. We're not demanding anything of you. And by the way, it's largely left up to you, local church, to decide whether or not you closely align. And if you don't, we understand you can cooperate with somebody else. But in order to be in cooperation with us, you need to be committed to the idea that you at least your faith and practice closely identify. At that point, I'm like, that seems relatively reasonable to me. Number two, the formal intent to cooperate. So it can't be an accident that you're with us. You had to do this on purpose. Number three, financial support through the cooperative program, the SBC causes, and the SBC entities. Pretty basic. Mm-hmm. That's only 2007. Mm-hmm. That's not that long ago. 2021, they added two more. In order to be in friendly cooperation with the Southern Baptist Convention, you must also not act in a manner inconsistent with the convention's belief regarding sexual abuse. So if Good. You aren't protecting people from sexual abuse to our satisfaction, you are no longer in friendly cooperation with us.
Which is historically weak, but
yeah,
at least that.
They acknowledge it. But again, it's an interesting question. Should this be in the basics? And once you start down this path of checklist, mm-hmm. How far does it go? The next one, by the way, also approved in 2021. And these two say all that you need to know about 2021, by the way. Mm-hmm. So not acting in a manner inconsistent with the convention's belief regarding sexual abuse. Number two, not affirming, approving, or endorsing discriminatory behavior on the basis of ethnicity. So there's a correction being done mm-hmm. where, listen, we've not nailed this in the last 150 years.
In fact, in our inception.
Yeah. So we need to clarify this. This is important to us.
All right, the Northern Baptists were right.
Yes, exactly. Okay, fine.
Jeez. Okay,
yeah, exactly. All right, so good. 2023.
Wait, all people are made in the image of God.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Oops. Slave trading is listed among the sins in 1 Timothy. One of the same books are, I think it's 1 Timothy, 1 or 2 Timothy. Anyway, 2023 added this wording, while both, not in the requirements, just in the bylaws, okay? Mm-hmm. While both men and women are gifted for service in the church, the office of pastor/elder/overseer is limited to men as qualified by scripture.
That was 2023.
So this was interesting that we now are verbalizing clearly we equate pastor, elder, and overseer. Mm-hmm. Some people thought this was a step towards removing pastor from this list. That now we've acknowledged there's such a thing as elder and overseer, Now we can remove pastor and just stick with elder overseer next time around. Not what happened. It's also worth noting that in 2023, the Southern Baptist Convention separately began a constitutional amendment that would require item number 6. In order to be in friendly cooperation with the Southern Baptist Convention, you must affirm, appoint, and employ only men as any kind of pastor or elder. That was the way it was worded. Okay. So affirm, appoint, or employ only men as any kind of pastor or elder. In my mind, I'm like, okay, so you have a case if you pull the word pastor out of that. Again, whether or not I agree or not, that's not our topic for today. Mm-hmm. But affirm, appoint, or employ only men as any kind of elder, as long as I, and that's, by the way, you only have to be in, wait, what was the wording? Closely identified, right? So you don't have to be dead on board with that, because that's not anymore yet in the list. So that was in the list. It ultimately failed. So the first vote it passed, it received the first vote approval, which is a lower standard. But the second vote, the 2/3 vote in 2024, it did not pass.
But they did disassociate Saddleback.
That is when they, that's when they said Saddleback was not in close enough alignment, mm-hmm. because they had pastor women in lead teaching pastor roles.
And I mean, again, this was not the Southern Baptist Convention expecting Saddleback to say, oh, we don't closely align. This is the Southern Baptist Convention looking at a church, yes. and saying, you don't align.
Not closely align.
And this was not the Southern Baptist Convention looking at a church who had an abusive,
right.
Elder.
Yeah. That was not the reasoning. It was you have women in lead pastor roles. Yes.
And their understanding of lead pastor roles is teaching across the congregation. Mm-hmm. That is nowhere written. Right.
That is understood is that the threshold seems to actually be teaching, preaching from the pulpit, and not just, by the way, actually preaching with authority from the pulpit. Because I'm going to read, somebody got Al Mohler on a mic and to clarify some of this, and he actually talks about, like, legendary in Southern Baptist life was Mrs. Bertha Smith, a famous missionary. She would give a testimony from the sermon. I don't think the Southern Baptist Convention entertains any such action to contemplate whether Mrs. Bertha Smith was in any way violating scripture.
Lottie Moon.
Yeah. I mean,
Annie Armstrong.
So he talks about, like,
we named these
offerings
after these women,
which would still, again, not mean, that's still not the same thing, because the issue is whether they can teach in the church. Like, that's the key, or preach. Right.
Okay. But can we talk about, like, the, like, there's an inherent hypocrisy to, hey, you can go start churches.
Huh?
You can be a missionary. You can teach these men the gospel.
Right.
And help them start a church.
Right.
But you can't be their pastor.
I was wondering about that.
Or you can't,
like,
be
what
their,
does this mean for women missionaries? Like,
yeah.
Like, they, you can't. I feel like there's, again, I'm not good at debate. I get too emotional to really be good at debate, but like you don't see any kind of problem.
Yeah.
Problem. Yes. That's not the same thing though.
I know.
If you have, you couldn't say women can give, but they can't preach. So that's not a hypocrisy. Those are two different roles,
right?
Women can plant churches, but they can't preach in them, would be two different roles.
Right.
Now, I get why that could be a challenge, but it would feel wrong. The question that we have to wrestle with in the end is, because if we're saying it's a hypocrisy on our part or the convention's part or something else's part, fine. What we don't want to get stuck with is saying it's a hypocrisy on the Apostle Paul's and Scripture's part.
No, and I think that's why, like, one of my, like, arguments in this whole debate is what Paul then does with the letter he writes to the Romans.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll get there.
I mean,
cause that's one of the two big arguments that really needs to happen. Okay. Let me get back to the
Do you want to read the, okay, go ahead.
But in that, so you'll know in that in the article, Mueller references like, well, there's nothing wrong with a woman giving up and getting a testimony. There's nothing wrong with. And so now what that sounds more like is either it's less clear in his mind than he thinks it is.
Right.
And we've heard ministers, pastors, especially pastors have been around a long time, wrestle with this because I think part of it is honestly because they think everyone intuits just like they do. And they're like, no, this isn't hard. This is clear. Like, but it isn't. I get that it's clear to you in your head that like, well, a testimony doesn't count as preaching. From the pulpit on Sunday morning, giving a testimony doesn't count as preaching. And what's wild is it's like, is it because it's a woman that that's what makes it not preaching? So I don't know. Like, I think that's part of the question, the conversation. I'd said for years, I mean, I was at an elder across the street at we're a conservative church by any standard, but by the Bible church. And the question was brought up, like, if you had a well-known women's speaker come and she was available on Sunday morning, would you let her preach? And the pastor was like, of course I would let her preach. Like, why wouldn't I let her preach? That's not what the Bible is. And he very much so thought only men could be elders. He was like, that's because teaching in his mind was one of the role of an elder. It isn't that you then reverse engineer and go, therefore all teachers are elders and all elders are teachers. Like, because you're not making that error in judgment. Now we'll get somewhere. We'll look at 1 Timothy where he says, I do not let a woman teach or have authority over men. So we'll get there before we're done, because we need to do the actual, what this year's language was. Okay, here we go. 2026-2027 language adds number 6. So the list of 5 checks in order to be in friendly cooperation with the Southern Baptist Convention adds number 6.
It gets harder to just closely align the more checks you add,
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
Just closely aligned with these 897 points.
Yeah, 611.
Yeah.
We create a new Torah, right?
Oh.
So number 6 does not act to affirm what are the deal breakers, which things are deal breakers. And it's
number 6. Sorry.
Number 6 is does not act to affirm, appoint, or endorse a woman serving in the office or function of a pastor, elder, overseer, specifically preaching to the assembled congregation. So the key word there was specifically was added in.
Oh, I Dr. Mueller thought that was is pretty.
Well, he added in the word specific. The old wording didn't have the word specifically. Okay. So he added because he thought that added clarity.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically preaching to these. But in my thought, it certainly doesn't cancel out what was there before.
Presented by Al Mueller to the Southern Baptist
Convention. Southern Baptist Convention this last year, these last few months. The amendment received the first required 2/3 vote of 76.7%, if my research is right.
Mm-hmm.
But it has to receive it again in the 2026 Southern Baptist annual meeting before it becomes part of the Constitution.
Right.
There you go.
So do we want to talk about the fallout briefly, or should we do that at the end?
The fallout, what do you mean?
Like, from my perspective.
Oh, yeah, no, let's pick up here now. What have you guys been experiencing about this?
Well, I think on social media specifically, people have had a lot of different responses. Naturally, because of my algorithm, a lot of women have had a really hard time with it. And I think to summarize, the three main kind of camps that I've seen, one is women who are more conservative in line with SBC. And they're like, hey, guys, this is nothing really new. This is basically just clarifying women, you know, as the main lead pastor of a church. And they're like, I don't know what you're all upset about. That's like one extreme.
Yes.
And then the other extreme that I've seen is like the SBC has never protected women and we've had trouble with abuse and like all these like coupling it with all of these other things and basically saying like not saying that's wrong, but they're assuming a lot with a lot more than what was said. So a lot of these women are like, this means that, you know, women's gifts are not going to be recognized. Women are not going to be allowed to operate in those gifts. Like men are going to have the ability to basically decide what women can or can't do in churches. And like that, you know, that level of outrage.
Yeah.
And then the middle is a ground of kind of what I've seen is more like, hey, I don't really theologically align with this. Let's kind of like flesh out what this actually means, what they actually meant by it. You know, those are kind of the three versions that I've seen. But I have seen a lot of women that are really hurt by this issue and are really upset by it. And yeah, are just, I think some of the like level-headed conversations that I've seen of people who are upset, you know, and aren't just kind of spewing hatred suddenly, but who are voicing actual like level-headed concerns or like, hey, we really need to find what on earth we're talking about, what we mean by this and what we don't mean by it. Because this could be used to mean a whole lot of things for women in church that are not biblical and are not even honoring to women. And so that's kind of like the gamut of what I've seen on social media.
Here's a question I'm curious about. This is something that I've had to ask in a lot of different headings about a lot of different things. And so the one that gets me, of course, the way I would ask it is, if I was convinced, if I believed that the Bible taught that I have no right to defend myself, that I have to be a true pacifist, I cannot harm another human being, would I submit to that?
He says, as there are four swords leaning against the wall.
They're mostly decorative. But would I? That's a tough question.
Yeah.
If the Bible teaches that men are to be the elders of the church and they're who tell the women what they're allowed to do and not do in the church, would we submit to that? If that's what the Bible actually says.
Right.
Yeah.
If we don't start there, then we're coming at this with the wrong attitude.
Right.
We have to come to Scripture with Scripture revealed by the Holy Spirit as being authoritative.
Right.
If what the Bible says, no matter how unfair it feels, no matter how backwards it feels.
You know, some people would describe it as the searching, like where you get your hands over and you're, you know, feeling out for you. We understand that what we are in this world, what Christians are in this world, are we're beggars. Yeah. Now, we're the beggars who know where the bread is.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a huge responsibility, but you're still a beggar. You're not anything else other than a beggar. And so you are accepting the truth of what God is giving you with open hands and with gratitude and all of those things. Yes. If God has told us through Scriptures that we're not allowed to defend ourselves or our families in any circumstances.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You open hands. Thank you, God.
Right.
Because we believe that is a good gift.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like a good gift right now, but that is a good gift.
Right. Yeah. Well, and it comes from the character of God.
Right. It comes from the character of God. And if God has given us the instruction that women must be silent in the church.
Yep.
Open hands. Thank you, God. And I'm saying that, and I understand I'm saying that as the most privileged human who has ever lived on the face of the earth, like whatever. But people, I think, that know me well, know that I have most of my training at the hands of most of my Christian life at the hands of really obedient women.
Yeah.
And
you've been shepherded by them
so many times.
Yes.
I mean, all the time. Yeah. If mom's not a shepherd, I don't know what a shepherd is.
Right.
And my father is an incredible shepherd, but he and I are going to disagree on a lot of things. This may be one of them.
Yeah.
But like there's.
Yeah. We have to start with that attitude.
Yeah,
not how does this make me feel? Have other people misuse this?
How's it going to play on Facebook?
Yeah.
Right.
Or like, none of that.
How are people going to misuse this?
Yeah.
Like, that's easy to jump to.
Of course. Absolutely.
Yeah. But we have to start with that.
And, and I totally agree with that. And I disagree with what they're concluding.
Right.
And what I disagree most with is the idea that we as Baptists would want to make sure that we're only being influenced by people who think the same as us.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or, yes. And interpret a, I, we didn't say this on this podcast, but what I do not consider a primary, like an essential understanding of scripture of this. They're to say that this is really easily understood or really easily applied, or the, oh no, this has always been this way, is a falsehood.
Yep.
It's not like, that's not being intellectually honest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I understand disagreeing with each other, and I understand disagreeing with each other vehemently, mm-hmm. but like, really, you're going to say that to be a Southern Baptist, we don't want to argue about this anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't want to have this debate anymore. This is what it is. And it's like, no, there's too many smart people who think differently than you.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
So this is this in my mind. So number one, I think what you mentioned, so I went through and I created like, what are the actual issues here? And I created a list of ironically six of them. Huh. Number one was the tone deafness of the Southern Baptist Convention leadership. Uh-huh. To have a major crisis about sexual abuse and about the and to make it very, very clear over and over again, we don't have authority over the local church. We can't punish people. We can, and that's totally true. That is 100% accurate. Mm-hmm. Now, they have legal obligations. Mm-hmm. The people who knew about abuse were obliged to report it, didn't, and should be in prison. Mm-hmm. But to say they don't, they didn't, and they don't. They all the entirety of the power of the Southern Baptist Convention over a local church is to say, we no longer recognize you as being in friendly cooperation with the Southern Baptist Convention. Therefore, your students can't get half off at seminaries, and your missionaries can't be the launching agency of an international Baptist missionary. And that's really it. Mm-hmm. Like, there's just so little. We could still give to those programs we believe in. We could still support those. It also means we can't go to the conventions and vote, which is not a big change for our church anymore.
No, we don't do that. But this is the
thing. We have like a few times, but not recently.
Yeah. That understanding of where you're, like, I don't even want to call it authority because it's so not authority.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. But that level of influence, should, I think, qualify how tight you want to make the noose.
Sure. But you're right.
How tight you want to make the leash. And it's like, oh, that tight.
Well, there's a famous, brilliant quote that a young princess once said, that the tighter you clench your fist, the more planetary systems will slip through your fingers.
She's a beautiful princess.
And she's now a Disney princess, by the way. But I feel like this is a huge deal. And I think this is worthy of criticism.
Yeah.
Is you just really barely managed to handle this sexual abuse scandal.
Yes.
You really fumbled it in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. It turns out for years we've been doing it wrong. You finally stepped up. You finally acknowledged it. You released all this information that had, I mean, we were all able to see all the list of pastors and leaders who had been reported on and all this stuff that they unfortunately had for years and been building for years and had never spread out. Mm-hmm. Yes. And so they barely got through that crisis.
And some people would say didn't.
And some would say didn't. That's right. That's right. So I'm giving the benefit of the, that's fair. I'm giving a little bit of benefit of the doubt. I would say they barely made it through.
In a generous understanding. They barely made it through.
And with the understanding, man, this is really going to hold our attention for a while. Uh-huh. Like, this is what we're going to be focusing our attention on. This is a real problem. We've got to deal with this.
People want to make sure that you've dealt with it.
That's right. There's a lot of questions still out there. Mm-hmm. And the next big topic is not that. It is women serving in roles in the church. Now, again, that doesn't mean it's two things can be true at the same time. Yeah. You don't have to do one or the other.
No.
And some things have been done on both for sure. And some of it is, this is what drew attention, but they should have been aware enough to know it would have drawn so much attention, especially given it seems at best tone deaf and at worst, we'll pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
Right. Well, the tone deafness really comes in when it's like, no, we really feel like this is important enough to tell somebody they can't be in our cooperative.
Right.
I'm like,
well, and it does now say,
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like what?
Yeah. That was a big deal. We've decided racism, discrimination based on ethnicity. You're not one of us.
Yeah.
If you're not handling sexual abuse in your church properly, you're just not one of us. And again, should those be in the bylaws? Yes. Should it be in the list? I mean, I'm in approval of them, but I also understand there may be people who are like, well, once you start drawing those lines, when are you done? And I get it. I get it.
Couldn't help you went a little Southern there with your.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. That's right. Okay,
that was his Southern. If he was an actual Southern Baptist.
If I was coming, that's right. That's right.
Just I can have the voice.
I can do them all. I can do the. I grew up spending enough time in Alabama. So the second one is the recognition. So
tone deaf was your first.
Tone deaf is the first one. And I think that's a fair criticism.
Yes.
And I think that's cost a lot of heart, which makes sense, especially the hearts of women in the church.
Well, and even women who are like not directly under the SBC, but who are kind of adjacent to it.
Yeah.
Even like, I mean, you know, in line with this podcast, like kind of in the deconstruction camp of like women who are kind of like,
man, I love it. The like deconstruction from Baptist life.
Yes,
yeah. Right.
But it's like
realizing that when you deconstructed, you were like, oh, it was just all the things that were Baptist.
Right. But it's then like women who are that far enough removed where it's like, they may not be having these conversations, but what they're hearing is like, oh, also the women want to silence or the Baptists want to silence women. You know, like that's what they're going to hear from this. Yeah.
The second one is that the presbyter, this is a convention cooperation, not a presbyter. They don't have authority. This word presbyter, by the way, is the Greek word for elder. There's two words for elder. One is episkopos, which means overseer. And that is used clearly interchangeably with the word presbyter. And presbyter just means older. That's all it actually means. It means older. Masculine, so it usually means older men. But for example, in 1 Timothy 5:1, do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father, younger men as brothers. That word for older man is elder. Presbyter. It's the same word as elder, an older person, right? And so this is a cooperative with the, it's not, a, so that's, they made a big deal about that. That was true. They didn't have that authority. And now though, it feels like they're saying, but we really need a little more. That also feels almost a little tone deaf to me is like, why is this? And then we'll get to, because what you're saying a minute ago, John, I think there's two questions. And one is, what does the Bible actually say?
Right.
And then number two is, are we sure enough of that to create a dividing line here to say that this is a deal breaker for the Southern Baptist Convention? Yeah. But by the way, they have the right / we have the right to say when they draw that line, there will be churches who either say, we even agree with your summary, but we disagree that this is a deal breaker. Mm. So we're done. That you will have churches who will agree with the premise, but disagree with the decision to make it a deal breaker.
I hope there are some churches that are like brave enough to do that.
Yeah, I think.
And understand I say brave with a little tongue in cheek.
Yeah.
Because it'll feel brave.
Yeah.
But it's not brave.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
We want to keep, and we'll talk before we're done about our church. Like we're going to keep wrestling through this and talking about it probably throughout this year, but
because we have people in our church that disagree about this.
Right. Who love Jesus and are following him.
And we're not going to kick him out of the church.
That's right.
I hope not. Cause I'll probably be the one who gets kicked out.
We'll have all kinds of,
said that on this podcast. So now you can't kick me out.
Exactly right. Okay.
What was the heading of your second point?
The second one was this idea of it not being an oversight organization. It's just a cooperative.
Yes. Okay.
And yet gaining. So this is a claim. Yes, it's one of our strengths is that we're not a presbyter. We are not in charge of your local church,
but also
we kind of need to be more in charge of this is our strength, but we're going to now reverse that.
Right.
Feels like a problem. Number three, not is this the correct view, which we've just talked about, but is this a deal breaker? Mm-hmm. If one church broke number five. So this is, I was listening to a podcast of guys who are all in support of this amendment.
Right. I haven't found one that, is guys who dislike, one of them agrees and one of them disagrees.
Yeah.
I was looking for that.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I wanted to hear.
Exactly.
I was like, ooh.
Yeah,
this is gonna be great. No,
so this was
people, everybody's screaming into them. Oh my god!
No, no one does that.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's one of the quote they said: if one church broke number five, that's the ethnicity, the discrimination of ethnicity, we would. The quote was: we would go after them. Okay, okay. That was, when as soon as the guy said that, I was like, I wish I was on the podcast so I could ask right now. So you're making number six equivalent to that.
Yeah.
Theologically.
Like, you're saying that the women serving in the function or role of shepherd, elder, or overseer is equivalent in importance to us as someone showing discrimination based on ethnicity or engaging in sexual abuse in an inappropriate way. And that was actually the question. I was like, in that moment, I was like, oh, that's exactly what I want to ask you.
Yeah.
Do you see those as equivalent deal breakers? Because I get seeing some of those as deal breakers.
Right. And we would say, or I would say,
yeah,
not the same thing.
I don't see them as equivalent.
And I don't see them as like nearly as cut and dry as each other. Like,
right.
Oh, boy, well, one of those is like, or...
Seems
two of
like
those,
we could determine pretty
two of those
easily.
It feels like I feel like I'm making a strong
case. Yeah, we can have
case.
Witnesses like, and we can have, yeah, exactly.
The other one, I'm like, what?
Right.
Yeah, what exactly counts?
Like, I've got so many people that think differently than me about this.
Yes. Now, I have another issue that I will now bring to the table as far as deal breakers. This to me is the theological part of this for me, the hermeneutical part of this for me that I want to share with you guys. And I think we actually talked about this on a previous podcast a long time ago.
Probably the one about women.
Yes, I think so. Is the Bible
sexist?
Yeah, is the Bible sexist? What was the heading of that whole, is the Bible
immoral
by today's standards? That was such a great series. Anyway, so, and this comes from 1 Timothy chapter 2. And so I'm going to, the main passage, there are other ancillary passages for sure. And so I'm not minimizing those, but the main passage that is used in this conversation is found in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 2, I'm going to go to verse 11 to start as a trap, but that's okay. It's still going to do it anyway. Let a woman learn quietly with all submissiveness.
Should I read this? I'm just kidding. Should I be the one to read?
Absolutely.
Yes. Can you please? That would be great.
If you're willing, go
for
it.
What am I doing? 11 through
11 through 15.
Okay. I'm going to read this knowing.
Whoa. Is it,
Chris is laying
is this
trap.
Legal?
Can we? Yeah, can is. I read scripture on a Christian podcast?
Oh, God.
As long as I'm not commenting on the sermon. Anyway.
It's Christian. It's not Baptist.
Let a woman learn quietly with all submissiveness. I do not permit a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man. Rather, she is to remain quiet. For if Adam was formed first, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived and became a transgressor, yet she will be saved through childbearing if they continue in faith and love and holiness with self-control.
Okay.
Very non-controversial passage.
I mean,
yeah.
And there's no part of that where it stops being kind of like, what are we talking about?
What?
Wait, what
yeah.
are we talking
about? And then they say, through childbearing?
Like, no, yeah.
What? There's no confusion in this passage,
like,
right?
There's no part of this passage where it's not confusing.
Right.
And we're going to just
potentially
lean
offensive.
Hard on it.
Yeah.
So here's my.
Obviously, that means this.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it is a, what? It is interesting that it is a tough passage.
Yeah.
It's in a tough book because
yeah.
it's a personal letter.
Yeah. Right?
It's like everything about this is a challenge.
I did almost jump out of my skin whenever, Mueller called it a general epistle.
Did he really?
I was like, oh. No, it's not.
Oh,
no,
it's general.
Not. Yeah, it's not a general epistle.
Or at the that's end, he says, oh, Timothy.
Yeah, exactly. Just, that's an actual general. Error. So here's what, from a hermeneutical perspective, one of the rules of the art and science of studying scripture when you're doing good work is you can't take a list of things and pull things out of the list as being markedly different from each other.
This is actually the problem with people saying that homosexuality is talking about something different. Like, mm-hmm. we're
It's contextual.
It's in a list with things that you would not say that about.
Yeah. Right, so it is like, so 1 Corinthians 6:9-10, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers. And you can't go like, well, but not homosexuality. That was contextual and cultural. Mm-hmm. Like, no, these are all equated, mm-hmm. right? Clearly they're meant to be. These are all sins that are so significant that Paul is saying, if this identifies you, you're not in the kingdom, right?
Right.
It's a big language. Here we have a list of three things.
Speaking of things that we're not comfortable with yeah, exactly. being in scripture. Yeah,
exactly. Plenty of those.
If you heard that as me being comfortable, like yeah, it's not what's going on.
Yeah.
If was it the Tim Keller of God? If your God always agrees with you, then you're probably just worshiping a grandized version of yourself.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So I'm paraphrasing.
Really powerful me.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So there's actually a list of three things here in this passage, starting in verse 8. The Apostle Paul starts teaching Timothy, and he does make them, there are people who point out the fact that Paul writes this from a personal, like, I, which there are other places where the Apostle Paul references, like, this is me, not the Holy Spirit speaking, mm-hmm. okay?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And some people think in this personal account, that would be a way of understanding this. Fair. I don't think you can say that unequivocally, but it's a fair point.
Yeah.
That Paul here is saying, this is my, I desire,
mm-hmm.
I don't allow. And is he saying this is a general teaching, or this is like, listen, brother, this is how I do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just have to be aware of that too. But here's the list. Number one, I desire then that in every place the men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling. Item number one. Item number two, likewise, also that women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel with modesty and self-control, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly attire, but with what is proper for women who profess godliness with good works. That's item number two. Item number three, let women learn quietly with all submissiveness. I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man, etc., what you just read.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. My question was, where
I'm gonna
go
take out my gold earrings real quick.
Yeah, hurry up. So where are items one and two in this list
mm-hmm.
in our now what should be an 8-item list of things that make you not a friendly cooperation, not in friendly cooperation with the Southern Baptist Convention?
Because so help me, the number of women that are dressing with gold and pearls.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry. If you're going to say that this is not like,
yes,
context, like,
yes,
in like that, what are you talking about?
Are you offended by pearls?
I mean, I couldn't think of a more Baptist, like,
golden pearls
accessory for women. Than pearls.
Exactly.
Like,
we're literally known as pearl clutchers in the Baptist world, right?
Yeah, speak for yourself. No,
but that's
true. Bryn's not much of a pearl clutcher.
No. But that's not like.
So here's the point.
That's contextual, and this part is not.
Yeah.
That's the problem, is if you say, so, for example, let's focus on the one that's targeting men.
Yeah.
Men should pray, lifting holy hands. Is there anything Baptists are more famous for than the fact that we don't lift our hands? Like, that's what the charismatics do, right? The Baptists have the charismatics beat hands down.
Hands
that's a joke we tell.
Yeah, yeah.
And so because our hands are in our pockets when we sing and pray, right? Mostly there's a few of us who lift our hands.
My 1-year-old, he's like,
yeah, exactly. I love it.
My son asked me the other day why I was lifting my hands.
Yeah.
Somebody like caught me behind, like saw this whole conversation
caught
happening.
You.
But I was lifting my hand and my autistic son is standing next to me.
Yeah.
And he's like, daddy, what are you doing?
What are you doing?
You look like a freak. I'm telling him, and like, I've got my serious face on because I always have my serious face on. Yeah. And what I was scared of is that people were going to think that I was scolding him.
Yes.
And I was just very earnestly trying to tell him, like, this is why, this is the posture that I have and what I'm trying to, and like the people behind me know us well enough to be like, that was really sweet.
Aww.
But like, I mean,
But notice, okay,
so not a normal thing, or he wouldn't ask.
So what we do with number one and number two is that we say these are general principles we should apply. Yeah. Rightly so. We say, listen, we should worship in sincerity and with real heart and passion. By the way, I love the fact that it says without anger or quarreling. Yeah, another thing Baptist men I've been known to do, be angry and quarrel. And this is that one, if anything, is every bit as non-contextual as it can possibly be. I don't think he means like, well, you know, the Ephesians have a real problem with anger and quarreling, unlike the rest of humanity. No, it's all of it. Like, if anything, that first section, that first one, number one, would be the one you would think would be the most universal in its application. But we've decided it is teaching a general truth that we need to apply.
Right.
Everyone does. I know that because I've been, like you said, I've been in Baptist churches off and on all my life. I've never heard a sermon instructing me to lift my hands in prayer. And yet it says that right here. Mm-hmm. I desire that in every place the men should pray, lifting holy hands. I've never heard anyone give that as a direct instruction. I have, outside of certain denominations, not Baptist denominations, never heard them teach that you can't braid your hair or wear gold or pearls or costly clothes. Like, I've never heard anyone mandate that
in a
Baptist church. Now, there are other denominations that do that.
Costly attire.
Costly attire.
Think that one through.
Preachers in sneakers.
Yeah, exactly. So, well, no, it's just for women.
Oh, right.
Yeah, men can be costly.
Men can wear all the braided hair and gold and pearls we want to.
Yeah.
Payless shoes for you, women.
Yeah, exactly. So what strikes me is, again, I don't mean this as a huge criticism, except to say, if we've decided that in this list of three, item three is worth making a checklist number six on, I don't understand why we're not also mandating item one and item two. Now, a solution for that would be to mandate item one and item two. That would be one odd possible solution. I think we have correctly identified that all three of these in this list are, there's a general principle here. And each local church is responsible to figure out how to apply this general principle. Mm-hmm. I believe the best we can understand in principle number three is that we must respect creation order, that we're supposed to defend somehow, respect and acknowledge creation order, which is why he talks about, he goes immediately to Adam and Eve, which obviously applies to all of humanity, not merely the church in Ephesus. Mm-hmm. But this is but it is a confusing passage. It's not an easy passage, and it is a list passage. Mm-hmm. And to do one, to focus one as being like, this is direct instruction that is prescribed upon the local church. And the first two items are general principles prescribed to the local church, is not good hermeneutics.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a problem. Now, I think one of the things they could have done to clarify this, which they moved away from with this one, and again, it goes back to the error they made, is that if they want to say, so I would be in general agreement, not certain agreement, but general agreement, if they wanted to say
specific agreement,
the title and exactly the title and office of elder should be for men only. Now, again, I'm not sure that's true, but I am sure that is a general understanding that makes good sense, is very defendable scripturally. To say function and role of pastor makes, now you've multiplied your errors, in my opinion. That's the function of shepherd is what people got immediately up in arms about. Mm-hmm. Rightly so. Wait a minute. So what is it called when I'm walking a bunch of children down the hall to the bathroom, almost literally with a rod and staff leading them to the, we don't have rods and staff for the children's ministry here, but we might, but like literally using your arms.
I know a few
arms,
people that'd be in favor of that. Yeah, exactly. They had my children.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mine too. But you're literally, they look like shepherds leading the children down the hallway to the restrooms.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, so, and this is why I think it's understandable that why Dr. Moeller got irritated when people started going like, wait, do you mean this? He's like, no, I don't mean that. And the correct response should have been, then don't say that. Mm-hmm. Because when you say function of shepherd, function of pastor, which is just another word for shepherd, it is super confusing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was really so frustrating general. To me when because I was giving the benefit of the doubt.
Like, yeah, sure. Just, right.
They're seeing this as a title removed from, but then they said the in one, you know, they were talking about how some people were trying to be slick.
Yeah.
In Texas with just, they were, they had given a woman the title that something, something shepherd.
Yeah.
And they were like, that's pastor. We know that's pastor. And I was like, oh my you do? Gosh.
Yeah, exactly. It was like, oh, wait, you do know that.
So,
then.
So what are you saying?
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like you've messed up and now you're like haughty about the fact that you.
Yes.
And you don't realize you've messed up.
Well, there were again, none of this is in the bylaws. None of this is in this amendment. But people talking right. about it kept saying things like, listen, we know if you give a woman these authority roles and you just call her a director, that's still the function and role of pastor. And that would count. And which is wild because we had a woman who I tried to give the title pastor to on our staff who, yeah. in deference mm-hmm. to the Southern Baptist Convention and her own family, said, I don't want to accept the title director. I'm pastor. I want to be the title to be director.
Yeah.
And so was like, which was an act of submission and deference on her part.
And
yet they're saying,
I don't know many people who are more of a shepherd.
Right, yeah. That's right. Also
I was like, okay.
Yeah. The role again, the role and function. I understand how they got here. They're trying to protect from an error that I think was made decades ago. So,
but this I think the offense, like you're saying, the offense only grew when they added that. Because yeah. it's like, oh, now you mean you don't want us doing any of that.
And again, this is, to me, it just keeps going back to, and we cannot abide someone disagreeing about this.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because it's so obvious to us
yeah.
that this is what scripture says. I'm mm-hmm. like,
Well, even like
seriously,
Al getting frustrated that people are asking him clarifying questions. It's yeah. like naive or prideful. We'll say naive, and yeah.
I don't know.
Giving him the benefit Dr. Mueller. Of that.
But I don't know Dr. Mueller either. But as a human, I can say no. That's prideful.
But like, yeah. Assuming
if I said that, it would be prideful.
Oh well, yeah.
Assuming that everyone should think like you, but also assuming everyone does think like you. Like obviously, right. Obviously, right. you should know this. Like, does. We all think the same, right?
And
like, what human again, ever thinks the same yeah. as anyone else?
This goes all the way back to the beginning of the conversation of like, oh, well, some people don't realize that we need to address this because their algorithm hasn't given them this thing.
Yeah, right.
And it's that like, okay, so before the internet, mm-hmm. it was pretty easy to only think about like the people yes. who are around you.
Yeah.
Right, right.
Now, yes. It's maybe not even physically the people who are around you. It's just right. the people that you interact with in your algorithm because you liked their post.
Right.
Yes.
And now if you like somebody's post, they're going to show up more.
Mm-hmm. Well, this,
and then you think the world thinks,
and
like
then
you
think yep. the world, and it's like even more. So there's this
right
vacuum of, like you don't, hear
everyone's
there are people that I intentionally like their posts and I don't like what they're saying because I need to hear what they're saying.
Sure.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And I understand that's going to be like, oh, no, yes. like I have to hear these people
mm-hmm. right.
because they're going to say, I don't agree with what they're saying most of the time, but every once in a while, they're going to say something that makes me go,
oh,
ooh, mm-hmm.
yeah,
that's different.
I mean, I'll go and like pick podcasts to listen to that I know I'll disagree with.
Yeah.
Because it is mental. I mean, that's like a human thing of like, it is mentally painful
yeah.
to hear things that we disagree with. But right. the more we practice it,
right.
the more.
And I'm not saying go like listen to everybody else and troll them.
Right. And I'm not even saying that's be completely open-minded, don't have your own opinions. But right. I'm yeah. saying like, yeah. I go and like practice listening to people that I disagree with so that when I'm in conversations with actual, you know, face-to-face yeah. people that I disagree with, that I can do that well. Because if we never practice that, mm-mm. like, it's going to be so actually physically painful for us to ever hear someone who right. disagrees with us.
Right.
Which is what it feels like this is.
It does feel a little bit of that. Yeah.
Go ahead.
So here's, okay, so item number whatever, because we kind of moved around a little bit, which is great. That's known as just
item,
totally fine.
Item G.
Gosh, well, you know so me, I'm so linear items. In my thinking. So it's like, that's going to be exactly
like
how we go.
It's like every sermon, you know, your 5 points.
Exactly. My 5 clear points, poem, exit, every time. Alliteration every time.
Every time.
So this was an interesting thing to me. What
number are we on?
4, technically.
Oh, okay.
But I think we've already done like 7 and yeah, 5 as G. well. So yeah, we're one, on the number.
Firstly,
we're on the
B.
Yeah, exactly. So is the slippery slope argument.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I ran into this almost every podcast that I listen to by people who are in agreement with this amendment.
Mm-hmm.
was they kept saying things like, and they would actually use the word slippery slope, that even if you disagree with this specific thing, you should still support it because the transition point between biblically sound churches and churches that have left scripture authoritatively is putting women in the role of pastor.
Yeah, you can't use transition in that sentence.
Yeah. So the problem is, one, the slippery slope is a fallacy. Uh-huh. It's actually the name of a logical fallacy is the slippery slope fallacy. It is, that probably is the most famous thing that things are, one of the most amazing things that Baptists are famous for.
Yes.
Fallacies.
Specifically the slippery slope fallacy, right?
Okay. Yeah.
And we're making, again, we can say this, we're all part of a Baptist church. So, yes. But like this is a, and by the way, if someday the Southern Baptist Convention removed us for some reason, maybe after listening to this podcast, there's, again, I'm going to talk about some of the really amazing things about the Southern Baptist Convention. We would still be a Baptist church.
Yeah.
We just wouldn't be in friendly cooperation with the Southern Baptist Convention. Yeah. If they, probably, honestly, if they decided that.
Yeah.
And so that's a whole other conversation. We'll see
if we were brave enough.
The slippery slope fallacy.
Yeah, brave. That's the, so the slippery slope argument is the pivot point for it. It is very much so like, well, today you let women serve as pastors and tomorrow you're having openly gay men, you know, openly gay men married to other men serving as pastors. Mm-hmm. And so as if, even if you don't disagree with this, that's what's coming if you don't draw this line in the sand. And that is quite literally, but like I said, we're famous for, you know, don't dance because of what it might lead to. Don't drink alcohol because of what it might lead to. Don't,
right.
Because it's,
dancing leads to sex, obviously.
Right.
And all sex is bad.
Exactly. That was Purity Culture, a whole other podcast episode.
Yeah,
we did
a long time.
Go back and listen to that podcast episode.
This is my subtle shout out to
exactly.
Our other episodes.
It's called a callback.
Yes,
excuse me,
exactly.
Callback. But it's like that quote from Mohler. Go ahead and finish your thought.
But take over.
Well, he says there's a great line that divides liberal and biblical evangelicalism. Mm. And you can see it on this issue. The trajectory of liberal denominations is clear. So that's what he's saying.
Right.
Is like he thinks this is like a pivot point.
Yeah. This is the segue.
You're just going if you.
Which is intriguing because a part of it makes me wonder is like, or is this the line that conservative denominations in the past have drawn unnecessarily, which then created a segue
division. Yeah.
Yeah. It could easily work either direction. And I think in the Southern Baptist Convention, it's equally likely to lead to churches no longer feeling like they have a home with the Southern Baptist Convention, and the new home that some of them will land in will lead them further away from scripture. And so this is the fifth one I had was, a pastor is not well defined anywhere in the bylaws. Certainly not the function of pastor is not. Again, if you want to say the title pastor, fine. I disagree with that because there is no office of pastor in the, there just isn't. It's a job title. Yes, it's a gifting for sure. It's an activity over and over again throughout scripture, but it is not an office. It just isn't. And I would love any of the people who take this stance, I would love to debate that with them. Like that would be a fun, to me, it would really help me to get to sit down with someone who knows this stuff. Mm-hmm. But I can tell you, if you're going to go to 1 Peter 5 and 1 Corinthians and quote the passage that says elders must shepherd the flock, that's not going to convince me because that is a clear noun verb relationship. These people ought to do this thing. That doesn't mean they are the same thing. I mean, we would never say that anyplace else.
But you were saying like, even if they made that case of like, okay, we specifically mean lead pastor of a church.
Right.
You'd they be like, still, okay, I disagree, but I can see you that.
I see what you're saying. I see your position, but the argument then should not be on the word pastor. It should be on the word lead. Mm-hmm. Like lead elder of the church needs to be a man. If that's what you mean, okay, well state that and defend that. Because you actually have a defense for that. Again, there are plenty of people who would disagree, but it's sound. And it goes into this rest of 1 Timothy chapter 2. Because he says, I don't permit a woman to teach or have exercise authority over a man. That certainly sounds like he's not going to put him in a position of overseer, episkopos, overseer. So he's not going to do that. And the qualifications for episkopos, overseers, which is the next section of 1 Timothy, this saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, episcopos, he desires a noble task. And there goes down and talks about things like being the husband of one wife, mm-hmm. taking care of his own household, managing his own household well, etc. Now, again, we could debate the fact that, as John was mentioning earlier in Romans 16, that same phrase is used about deacons, husband of one wife, and yet in Romans 16, Phoebe is described very clearly as the deaconess of Kenchrea, is a deaconess of Kenchrea, and that certainly sounds like her title. I assume she's not the husband of one wife. Therefore, because the debate of if the big debate,
and he's handing her a letter to go to Rome, like,
yeah,
like, guys, understand what you're saying.
Yeah, this is a huge authority that is she the one he gives the letter to? No, he says to honor. We can look it up real quick.
Sorry,
you may be mixing the two women, because the other one may be Junia, who you may be thinking of.
Junia is the one who walks it to Rome.
Nope, wait. No, you're right. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church at Kenchrea, that you may welcome her in the Lord in the way worthy of the saints to help her, blah, 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 blah. The implication being she's probably the one carrying the letter.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Which.
And then you get the.
She then explains the letter.
Yeah.
That's what they do.
Reads it.
They read least. The letter. Yeah. They explain the letter. Mm-hmm. You have any questions?
Just not from the pulpit, John, obviously.
But what's interesting is
you're right. There was no pulpit.
There was no pulpit to speak from.
You're right. There was no pulpit.
And then, of course, greet Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, are well known to the apostles. And the Greek there is just as much well known among the apostles as well known by the apostles. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of translations said well known among the apostles. Mm-hmm. Now, apostle just means sent one or messenger. Right. So that may not mean capital A apostle.
Again,
this is the struggle. Because of the uncertainty,
right?
Can we say we don't want to make this a line in the sand?
Right.
Because of stuff like this. It's mm-hmm. it's the joke we've told in here before where I'm like, I readily, as a lead pastor of a church, I may get to the pearly gates someday, walk up and have a long line of pastors getting to meet with Paul, and Paul going like, Chris, I don't feel like I was unclear that you had women in authority over some men. They were teaching in a class full of men. You had them get up and teach on a Sunday morning and give a testimony. You had to, like, you know, slap me in the face and go like, I wasn't unclear. You have women deacons at your church. And I said, the husband of one wife, I don't think I was unclear. And I will say, yeah, I feel like you were though. Like, I'm willing to have that covers. Like, okay, then explain Phoebe. And you can imagine going like, I meant servant, because the word diaconess means servant. Like, well, but then you chose that word as the title in the sentence. He's like, oh, I didn't think people were going to be reading my random letters out at like.
This is why I'm becoming more and more convinced that we're not going to actually be allowed to talk to each other in heaven.
Like, how can we talk to each other without sin?
Wait.
Yeah.
You're saying that the light that like lights the entire, you know, city is Christ himself, or is God himself, and we're going to talk to each other? Yeah. I don't think so, man.
Yeah.
Just me on my face, the entire eternity on my face. Oh, thank you so much.
Basking in the glory. Yeah. That's right.
I'll just be one of these solid gold bricks lining the street.
Exactly.
Don't mind me.
I'm just sitting here.
I love that.
Being transformed into a brick of gold. Yeah, exactly.
Lifting your hands.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Raising your hands.
Not quarreling or anger.
Right.
I'm doing it.
It's the only time I've been able to do it.
I feel like this is it is intriguing because I've known since I started coming to this church. Again, I was an elder at a Bible church.
Right.
I've known since coming here that there were things at the Bible church. They were cessationists at Bethel. They did not believe in the gifts of the Spirit at all and forbade them to be practiced in church, which I think was a mistake.
Yeah.
But I could be an elder there. Now, everyone's imperfect. We all make mistakes.
Yeah. We all disagree on what those mistakes are.
So easily be me who's the one who's wrong, gosh. Right? Like, I know I'm wrong about some things theologically. Right. If I knew what they were, I'd change it, but I don't know. Mm-hmm. So, but
can
I know there's some amount
there.
Can
one of the points in the SBC now that all pastors have to admit they're wrong about something?
Yeah.
Can that be number Bryn. Seven?
Yeah, I mean, I'm
this in. Is why we don't let women speak.
Yeah, that you right gotta there. Stop talking, because that was, I'm gonna, yeah.
I hope no one's listening taking us seriously.
I'm not saying the Holy Spirit didn't just speak, but couldn't have been because Bryn was talking.
Well, it was, and it was, if I remember correctly, I didn't get to find the actual quote. Dr. Moeller did say something about being troubled by a woman explaining or talking about a sermon on a podcast.
That's what went viral like a few weeks ago.
Okay.
Is he said that in his mind, women, because he doesn't think it's appropriate for women to comment or expound upon a sermon, even in a podcast, because then it's still like
the assembled church.
Yeah.
And again, I'm like, yeah. So that happened like a few weeks ago. Against what you're saying right now.
That's really, yeah.
That's when like, we text on our podcast text.
And I need you to know, like, I'm so against what you're saying right now that it's like,
but here,
I would have a hard time talking to you about it face to face.
Yeah.
And
even in heaven,
I mean, especially in heaven,
no quarreling,
like,
no anger,
no quarreling, no anger. Like,
yeah,
there's right. that like, mm-hmm.
but I, here's what's wild. And I mean, I disagree with Dr. Moeller on his view on IVF. I disagree with his view on, what's it called when you burn bodies rather than bury them?
Yeah.
Cremation.
Thank you. Cremation.
Yeah.
He's against cremation.
Yeah. He's against cremation. I disagree with his view on gambling. Like, but I still respect him as a spiritual leader. We're allowed to totally disagree. I disagree with John Piper as far as Calvinism.
Yeah.
And yet, I respect
there are things
him.
That I disagree with C.S. Lewis about.
Me too.
And
William Lane Craig. Cow. I go back and listen to my old sermons, and there's things I disagree with Chris Legg about.
Yeah.
In fact, that's probably the most common of all.
Join
right?
the club.
Exactly. So, yes, exactly. So this is my, in one sense, like being, knowing that this was the stance, and even that I thought it was an error made in 1963, a decade before I was born.
Mm-hmm.
I could still be a part of the Southern Baptist Convention. They weren't telling me I couldn't be.
They weren't drawing a line.
Yeah. And I was like, I get it. Mm-hmm. It's a mistake. But again, I'm not going to find one that hasn't, I'm not going to find a denomination. I'm not going to find a statement of faith. I'm not going to find anything like that that doesn't have errors.
Yeah.
They don't exist. Humans jack up everything that we get our hands on. And so this is that's going to happen. I'm okay with that. To me, this would not, the topic is a worthwhile conversation. Though I think they're solving the wrong problem, they should go back to the 1963, change that language as it should be. But this is a women in ministry roles, women in serving in these different things. It is I struggle with some of the leaders. And this part of what helps us understand that this is unclear to us is you ask any two different leaders. And they're going, what's wild is I actually looked up like who are some of the top leaders in the Southern Baptist Convention, because I don't know. I don't keep track of that.
Mm-hmm. And why should we?
And what are their views on this?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And guess what? They don't agree.
Mm-hmm.
Like this is in the Southern Baptist Convention.
Right.
By the way, all of the ones I found, this list that I found, all agree with the amendment. They do not agree on how it's applied.
Yeah. Right.
Should a woman teach a Sunday school class that has men in it? Should children's ministers be all men because they lead volunteers who are men? They have authority over men. They're telling them to show up at this time to do these things and teach this curriculum. So they
can
all
you teach a boy that's 12 and a half,
yeah.
you know, 13,
the,
whatever.
These questions, the application of these are not agreed upon. Mm-hmm. The only thing they all seem to agree upon is whether a woman should serve as the lead authority in a church.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm totally comfortable with that standard biblically, that a woman should not serve as the lead authority in a church. That doesn't make me right about that, but I'm comfortable with that stance because of the creation order concept.
Mm-hmm. You're theologically can understand the argument and give a lot of credence to the argument for that.
Absolutely. And generally would even agree with it.
Right.
I actually think that's for the protection of women to be able to take care of their household so they don't have to serve. I think that's what's being said here, that women's power, this power that men cannot have, has to do with having children. That's a role men aren't allowed to have. We don't, despite what today's world thinks.
Mm.
There's one thing that Bryn is aces at that we are both terrible at, and no matter, and there's no argument to be made about this.
I am 0% effective.
And so this is like, and I think that's what the Apostle Paul is saying here. This is maybe even that he's saying this is the power role here. Like this is the role of power. And in so many ways, I mean, this is like somebody said the other day, they fell into the trap of, in marriage counseling, this happened. The man and woman fell into the trap of like, no, she was made as my helper, not me, her helper. And I was like, oh,
uh-oh.
Sweet.
Uh-oh.
I cannot wait.
Yeah, just stop talking because this is terrible therapy. Because in therapy, I'm supposed to be still listening, but in my head, I was like, when you're done, I got something to say. That Hebrew word.
I have my rebuttal.
Oh, Azer. Be a fly on the wall.
I know it. That Hebrew word Azer.
Not good. I'm going to need you to step out for a second.
I nearly.
We have to talk.
I have done that before, John, and I nearly did this time. I nearly had her like, ooh, I need to step just, out. So
this is not something you need to be.
You don't need to be here for this. Yeah, exactly. But it was that word that if we've talked about. You guys know this. The Azer, that word Azer, is only used about one other person in the Bible other than Eve. Helper. And it's God. Mm-hmm. And so the thought of like, oh, shoot.
The Holy Spirit.
Yeah. And so anyway, this picture of understanding. Now, they would all say, and I believe they mean this sincerely to the degree I can know anyone's human heart, is they don't intend because, and me saying what I just said, you would have people go, so in other words, you're diminishing women. You're saying there has to be a man in the,
right.
And I get that. I understand right. feeling that way.
Yeah.
I just think that's the best view from scripture in my understanding. Mm-hmm. I think that's a totally appropriate way to engage with it. One could be wrong. Mm-hmm. Two, I take all authority interpreted through Jesus's teaching in Mark chapter 10. Authority means you get to sacrifice first. Mm-hmm. That's what authority means. You get to sacrifice first. Now you're the one responsible to me for how you lead. There's a special uncomfortable level of conversation that I get to have as this lead.
Well, unhealthy is uncomfortable. Yeah, or uncomfortable is unhealthy.
No,
unhealthy is uncomfortable. Yeah. See, it's a pastor. No, and
they're the same thing, right? They're interchangeable words.
Yeah, no.
So I feel like if we're debating, one, I would encourage anybody who's been involved in the conversation, one, do we submit to scripture first?
Yeah.
And I feel like that's something that several of the men and women who have gotten angry about this, understandable, a part of the conversation needs to be, okay, first.
On both sides.
What if it says this? Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh yeah. And on again, could some of these other leaders go, if it doesn't teach that, will you submit to that?
Yes.
And so that is always, and that tells us so much about our own hearts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I know.
And really only your own heart.
Yeah.
Like right, you, right.
That's right.
I mean.
If someone pulled out the right scriptures and convinced me that refined sugar is sin.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I my life would radically change and I would be much, much, much less happy. Everybody's looking over at the donuts on the table.
Much, much less happy. And everyone else around us would be much, much less happy. At least for a little while.
Yeah, exactly. Until it got out of my system.
I mean, goodness.
Still that 30 days.
But pick any of these, coffee or a cigar or a pipe, like these things. But the one that really got me was when someone said, because there are people who believe the Bible teaches clearly that pacifism is right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I had to say, before I even engage in the conversation, I have to submit to the Lord first.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so otherwise I'm going to just twist everything I can to support my position.
Right. Yeah.
And this is one of those for both of these. Now I want to share with you guys, this is what's sad to me about this conversation.
Did you say your point 6 and 7 really quick?
I probably did. Oh, number 7 was the hermeneutical emphasis.
Okay.
What does the Bible actually teach? And sticking to the topic.
Yeah, yeah.
Again, it isn't that how Jesus treated women doesn't matter. It's a huge deal. He was very, quote, progressive, probably by his day's standards,
right.
For his deference, respect. He treated everyone as equally treasured to him, male, female, whether it was high socioeconomic, low socioeconomic, Roman or Jew, like he did that.
First person we have him recorded telling that he's the Messiah.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Woman.
And and sending them out and his, all these different things. Like there's no question, but it also, that doesn't answer the question of what is the role of the office of women in a local church? Right. Like that still are two separate. They aren't insignificant to each other, but they are separate. You could say one and still have two different views on the other. That I think sticking to the topic. This is why I wish they had come out and said, if we want to clarify this, one, let's clarify there's no such thing as the office of pastor. Mm-hmm. Call it elder and say the office of elder, we believe, has to be a man. Great. Again, you have a good argument to make.
Right.
And a lot of evangelical churches would go, yeah, it is. I don't like it. Even if I don't like it, it's still true. But number 6 was the heading. I didn't call it this, but like that the word minister, which means also just means servant, is someone who comforts and servants. That's all minister means. So minister and shepherd are much more closely aligned as interchangeable words. Even though pastor and shepherd is this word, it is the Greek word, like there's such a clear like overlap between all these words. And so immediately one of the questions that some of these guys were asked was, so can women have the title minister? Because so much of it overlaps, right? And his answer was, sure, I don't think that's unbiblical because there's no such office as minister. And I was like, and just like pastor. So anyway, but
okay, but you were saying the sad thing about this is
here's the sad thing. Here, you ready? So here's the report. I mean, Southern Baptist Convention.
One of the sad things.
For me, the sad thing when I consider that there could come a day in the future when the Southern Baptist Convention or South Spring say we're not in friendly cooperation. And it might be this topic. It might be a totally different topic down the road. That's going to happen. I don't fear that kind of stuff. It's not some kind of endemic part of our identity here that we're Southern Baptist. We have partnered well there. This is the answer. Okay, ready? Now, the Southern Baptist Convention met in Orlando last week. This is one of the reports. The gathering always begins with a full day of preaching and worship on Monday. It's a blessing for pastors to come together, be challenged through great messages, and the pastor's conference, which is the beginning of the conference.
What are you reading from?
This is a summary report from the Southern Baptist Convention.
Okay.
The two-day annual meeting was marked by a celebration of God's work through our cooperative ministry. One of the highlights of the entire gathering was the commissioning service for new international missionaries. The special time of introduction and prayer for 63 people who are called to serve around the world, all ages, some married, some single, from all parts of the U.S., these 63 new missionaries will join the ranks of 3,500 others who serve around the world right now. These missionaries reported 194,000 salvations worldwide through the IMB this last year. 699 new Southern Baptist churches were started last year. Baptisms in the Southern Baptist Church increased for the fifth year in a row. While churches around the country, this is my words, while churches around the country are closing their doors, including some Southern Baptist churches, as a whole, the Southern Baptist Church number of baptisms has increased. The Southern Baptist Disaster Relief responded to 84 crises, prepared 233,000 meals, and served more than 414,000 hours of recovery work. The SBC endorsed military chaplains who reported 19,000 professions of faith among our soldiers last year. There was a unanimously received report and recommendation for a task force to begin ministering to people with disabilities in new ways in the church. We've been talking for 10 years how that's an unmet people group who we're trying to reach, and the Southern Baptist Convention is now trying to put together a team to figure out how to do this. They made recommendations to every SBC entity on changes they can make to help churches better minister to those with disabilities. We're glad the church is leading in this way and helping other churches develop it. That right there is what I want to be a part of. That.
Right.
I want to be a part of everything that was just listed there. I want to continue to be. Our church gives somewhere in the area, plus or minus, of about $40,000 to $50,000 a year to different aspects, cooperative aspects of the Southern Baptist Convention, whether it's the Baptist student ministries here in Tyler or the Texas Baptist or the Smith Baptist Association, the Timberline, which is a Baptist encampment, the Smith County Royal Ambassadors, which is young men's ministry. Like, these are things that we give to Lottie Moon offering and the others. Like, our church has partnered with, and I love this type of stuff. Like, this is what I want to be a part of.
And what we want people to know. Like, if this people are going to be encouraged by something, you know?
Yes. And so part of me, I do get, which I understand that, again, that leader in our church, that the guy who reached out to me is like, I know nothing about this and probably neither does anybody else. And then, of course, he started digging into it and was like, oh, well. But what's weird is so much of the clarifying language that's come out afterwards has really been, we just don't want a woman to be in lead position, in the lead pastor position, being the lead teacher from the pulpit. Like, but you didn't say that.
Right.
We were like, say that then so that we can still be in friendly cooperation. You start unpacking all this and it's just, to us. So again, this has been a great, I know there will be people in the church who need to hear this to have the full picture. Mm-hmm. And so we, this is what we want, is for people to have the full picture, to go to scripture and look it up. We're each responsible. Right. Don't just listen to us, but to dig it up and dive into it. But I really feel like this is something that, my view, I disagree with the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. It seems like so common. I disagree with the fact that pastors are a office in the church.
Well,
and that led to all of this.
And it goes back to like the big picture of Reconstruction, of like so many of these things that we've talked about, is like when Christians draw lines that God is not drawing.
Yeah.
It only pushes more people to like just want to be done with the church and Christians. And, you know, like when we're not having these conversations well or arguing well, but also B, when we're like drawing lines in the sand and like saying things that scripture doesn't say, that's like not helping the bigger picture of people who are like, yeah, man, I want to follow Jesus and be a part of other people who are following Jesus. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Especially because of social media and how it gets twisted.
And I feel like it's exactly what you said. The modification that I would make is that it feels like we draw lines in the sand to protect ourselves from disagreement. Mm. And we've got to embrace disagreement in ways that if there's anything that the church could do because of what Jesus has done for us,
mm-hmm. yeah.
that is contrary to what this world offers right now,
yeah.
it would be a place where people can disagree with each other,
mm-hmm.
like, and yes. be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And again, like I think that there's a lot that's going on when we try to interpret scripture. There's a lot that we're fighting through, both our own preconceptions, some language barrier things, some
comfort,
contextual, cultural things as well. Like, you know, I understand what we were saying from 1 Timothy 2 and it being a more general whatever, but I'm not completely convinced that this wasn't in response to a specific cult that was popular where Timothy was.
That's right. We worship Artemis of Ephesus.
And understanding that Artemis's cult would have been just for women, and they would have been very combative and very loud about all of those things. Like I do not permit a woman to, anyway. There are things like that that you've got to be able to, what I love about being Baptist is the priesthood of the believers.
Yeah.
Is that I am carrying the Holy of Holies inside of myself. And I carry that, the responsibility and weight of that, very seriously. And then to be told that my understanding of it is either right or wrong based on somebody else's understanding of it. Like, I get that. I understand like the conflict that has to happen in order for us to sharpen each other. But there are times that it feels like that conflict is then being like, we've got to resolve this or our witness is not going to be what it can be. And it's that like, no, our witness is stronger if we let the debate happen.
Mm-hmm.
If we talk to people that disagree with us in a way that says like, oh, what I understand is that you and me both are calling on the name of Jesus Christ to be our Savior and trying to submit our lives to Him. And the idea that we would, especially when we believe in the priesthood of the believer, say, oh, there's only one way to understand this.
Right.
Is that it just doesn't make any sense to me. I would rather us open up more to being able to be questioned, mm-hmm. to being able to have questions, to being able, because all of these questions have been cycled through over and over and over again. Right. And that doesn't mean that the people who said, like, this is the way it is, got it right then. Like, I'm not even, mm-hmm. like, we've got to continue to, instead of relying on our understanding of it, to lean not on our own understanding, but in all of our ways, acknowledge him. Mm-hmm. And he is directing our path.
Yeah.
And I think that the more certain we have to feel inside of our whatever, the less faith we're actually walking by. And I think that you're gonna pigeonhole somebody else's faith into being some straw man, whatever. And I'm not telling you you can't have convictions. I'm telling you, have convictions and be able to love your brother, mm-hmm. acknowledging him as your brother.
Yeah.
And if we allow people to be safe in conflict, like, whew, man, mm-hmm. how freeing would that be?
I mean, that like goes back to, I know we're wrapping up, but that goes back to like everything we keep coming back to about deconstruction, is so many people who have deconstructed were not allowed to ask those questions
weren't
allowed to like wrestle through these things. It was just like, no, this is the answer. Be quiet.
Yeah.
It's not what I grew up with. Yeah. So I'm really grateful to both of my parents for that.
Yeah, same.
Very good. All right. Wow. We covered a lot of ground. Yeah. I hope that's helpful. If anybody's got questions, they are certainly welcome to send them in and ask. And hopefully,
info@southspring.org.
There you go. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you for being involved in this conversation.
Yeah.
We are so grateful for the privilege of getting to be a part of the Southern Baptist Convention all this time, and to be partnering with all these different ones. And hopefully God will continue to lead us all, as you said.
Yeah, so, love y'all.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Reconstructed Faith. If you enjoyed what you heard or were challenged, please leave us a review. It'll help other people find us. If you have questions or a topic you'd like to hear discussed, shoot me an email at info@southspring.org. Reconstructed Faith is a resource of South Spring Baptist Church. Remember, don't give up, trust God, search for answers.